So first of all, as the other plenary speakers, I want to say that I am very much pleased to be here today and to share with you it, yeah, to share with you my reflection. It is true that I have worked a lot for this presentation, but I would say that it was for me a new and fascinating enterprise. When I was invited to give this lecture, I thought that the documentational approach had been developed during 10 years, a decade, and that it has been done through the collaboration and the contribution of researchers with many different backgrounds and perspectives. And so that it could be interesting to try to reflect on this approach using the tools that we have developed in the last decade too, in order to reflect on what is called now the networking of theories. And so I decided to make my small inquiry using as resources a selection of publication. And I would like to share with you this afternoon in a schematic way this small inquiry. I have to say that it is still an exploratory work, and perhaps some of you will disagree by the end. I have to check my interpretations with the authors of the publications. And but I think that I hope that it will contribute to the collective reflections that we are developing at this conference. So, outline. I cannot suppose that anyone here knows about the networking of theories and the tools we have developed for that research work. So I will briefly introduce some of these tools. Then I will use this networking perspective to reflect on the development of the documentational approach of the didactics. And I will end, I hope I will have time, some minutes, to end toward new and promising connection that have emerged during the preparation of this conference, thanks to Luc Trouche. And it's a connection between the documentational approach and the Lexicon International project I am working on since 3 years now. So, first, a short introduction to the networking of theories. In fact, the networking of theories resulted from the increasing international awareness that the issues raised by theoretical diversity were insufficiently addressed at the global level of the mass education community worldwide, and that induced theoretical fragmentation, which was damaging for the field and for the connection between the field and the outside of the field. So there were different incentives carried out, especially at European level. There were first European projects, such as the European research team TELMA, within the Network of Excellence Kaleidoscope from 2003, and some Cronis, for instance, was there, and others, and Georgios also. And there was a project REMATS, led by Cronis. And there was also the creation of a specific CERME group on theoretical approaches and their comparison at CERME in 2005. And at the same CERME, that was the constitution of what a small group we have called between us the Bremen group, because we often met in Bremen, at the University of Bremen, and because of the leader of this group was Angelika Bigner-Abbas, working in Bremen. And the result of this work from a decade was, nearly a decade, was this book that has been published in 2014. What are the constructs I will use today? I will use two main constructs. The first one is the networking scale. This networking scale, I suppose that some of you are familiar with it, emerged in the first step of our work. And I will not comment a lot about it. I just want to point out that it makes clear the diversity of forms of connection that can be used in order to create relationships between theories. I will just also add that I am not interested in it in the left part, ignoring other theories. And I will say also that you have put on the right extreme, unifying globally. But this, for us, was at all completely unrealistic and even problematic from a scientific perspective. It is not at all the holy grail that we are looking for. The second is the use of the concept of research praxeology, which is adapted from the notion of praxeology, which is at the core of the anthropological theory of the didactic. And this concept, this approach emerged more recently. And when with Mariana Bosch and Joseph Gascon, we had the feeling that using the concept of praxeology could be interesting in order to reflect retrospectively on the work we had done in networking of theories, in REMAT, and in the Bremen group in particular, and to reflect on the avoidance and the limitations of this work and the reason for them. And so we decided to adapt this notion of praxeology, which, according to ATD, can be used to model any kind of human practice to our research practices. So, of course, we have, as in any kind of praxeology, a praxis block and a logos block, which are interrelated. And in our case, the type of task, but there are all kinds of research tasks. But research tasks are very diverse. I am here doing some performing, some kind of research task. But today, I will be interested more in research tasks in form of research questions, elaborating research questions, and more explicitly in the set of research questions or problematic that can be privileged by one theoretical approach or another one. And of course, when we have tasks, we have techniques here, research techniques. And I will say that methods, quite often in the literature, we speak about methodology. But when we speak about methodology, we include both a research technique and a discourse explaining and justifying the use of the research technique. So methodology is both, it's at the interface between the technique and the logos, the technological part of the praxeology. So it is put on the right, the methodological discourse. And with Mariana and Joseph, we have decided also to include in the technological discourse the terms, the notions that emerge as results of research. And for instance, yesterday, Ghislaine mentioned a lot of them. They emerge in terms of for labeling some kind of phenomena. And then some of them disappear, some of them live, develop, and some of them, fortunately, integrate the theory part of the praxeology. And theory, for me, will be something more or less structured according to the, in line with ATD, the meaning of theory in ATD. And why to adopt this point of view? The fact that it allows us not to isolate theories, to think theories as elements of our research praxeologies, and to understand the development of a theoretical approach. it is much better, and we have experienced that, to think theories are component of research praxeologies and not just theories per se. And so another point, it ensures that research praxeology are dynamic entities that both the praxis block and the logos block contribute to this dynamic. And we have shown with Mariana and Joseph that phenomena play a very important role in this dynamic. And we can question this for the documentational approach. And the last point is that praxeology progressively structure. And even if theoretical approach emerges in relation with a very specific research praxeology, very specific type of questions and methodology. And for instance, what we call a point praxeology, it ensures that when theories develop, they become the umbrella for a wide variety and diversity of research praxeologies that they unify in some sense at what we call the regional level of praxeologies. So this is the end for my introduction. And this vision has shaped my inquiry. I have paid attention to the diversity of possible forms of establishing connection between theoretical approaches and constructs. I have analyzed connection, considering research praxeologies as a whole, and not just through their theoretical components, and also considering the diverse conditions and constraints shaping this. And also, I have envisaged the development of connection as bi-directional. That is to say, considering that connections are both established by the researchers who are at the origin of theory and their close collaborators, but they are also produced by other researchers with other backgrounds that try to use these theoretical approaches and concepts and merge with their own culture. So, beginning, I will do as Ghislaine yesterday, coming back to the beginning of the emergence of the A. And the first text I have used, not the prehistory, just the history, because I work with text as resources, was the course at the summer school, of course, and the first publication in 2009 in Educational Studies. And for me, which has been, I have been involved, as was said by Jana, in the instrumental approach, it was clear that reading this text, I see a clear origin in a coherent evolution of research praxeologies regarding the integration of digital technology. From CAS, where the instrumental approach was initiated, then to spreadsheet with a thesis by Maria Mascapian, then with Paul Drivers, then with the dynamic geometry, then with online basis of exercise, as was reminded by Ghislaine yesterday, and also the move in focus from the students' learning to the teacher that led to new conceptual constructions, such as the idea of instrumental orchestration that has been mentioned several times these days, and the notions of double instrumental genesis, genesis of uses, which are less mentioned here. And as Ghislaine said yesterday, there is also this work, research work, on the collective design of resources, which was initiated especially in with the SFODEM project, and for Trouche, for Luc, for was very, very important. So I see the emergence of the documentational approach as something that emerges from existing already praxeologies, but with clearly a new problematic, capturing the important changes brought by digital resources in the documentational work of secondary math teachers. These were being seen as an essential and under-researched component of their practices. It's nearly a quotation. So there is a new problematic, but a clear theoretical continuity. Because in the course at the summer school, it is clearly said that the documentational approach is presented as an extension of the instrumental approach. So the idea, fundamental idea in the instrumental approach, as it has been used in math education, the distinction between artifact and instrument, the dual processes of instrumentalization and instrumentation, the notion of scheme, all these things are transposed into their more or less equivalent for the documentational work of teacher. And we see exactly the same similar constructs and parallel constructs. And what is also interesting is that very quickly a new methodology emerged, which is called reflective investigation, and which is framed by four principles. These are part of the technological discourse. And it is clear that the influence of the vision, of the theoretical vision of this methodology is clear. I have forgotten. No. Very soon we have first result. Perhaps the first result I do not express this as Luc and Ghislaine could do. But for me, clearly reading these papers, we see the complexity of teacher system of resources and the role played beyond material resources by interaction with other agents, students and colleagues. We have the evidence of the substantial changes induced by technological evolution in this work. We have also very clearly shown the teacher agency and authorship at stake in documentational genesis, and which tend to blur the frontier between resource designers and users, which is a very important result. And also, we have the evidence provided that documentational activity is both productive and constructive, to use the words of cognitive ergonomics, and that it opens a unique window on teacher professional development to which it can contribute. But what about theoretical connection? At this stage, it is sure that, and it was mentioned yesterday too, what is the most visible is the connection with Adler's research work and conceptualization of resources as anything with potential for resourcing teachers' activity. And this quotation of Jill is often mentioned in the first text regarding the documentational approach. And it is clearly influential because it directly shapes the definition of resource which is presented in this text. But this text is better in order to investigate connections to look at the first book, Ressources Vives, because you have many more authors. We have a lot of chapters and longer expressions. So I have looked, my inquiry went on with this book. And in this book, there are two chapters, which are authored by Ghislaine and Luc. So I first look at these two chapters. They mentioned various authors, Ken, Jacqueline, and links to other chapters. But I would say that few connections are really worked out. But it could be expected. If they were not, it could not be their goal at that time. For instance, they refer to the category by Jeanine Rémillard, to her research, but the category she has used, she has presented in the 2005 paper in terms of modes of destination, form of destination, modes of engagement, the fact that teachers shape and are shaped both by the resources, the curricular resources they use, which is at the basis of the participatory perspective, is not related, for instance, to instrumentalization and instrumentation processes, to the productive and constructive character of documentational genesis. It is sure that, before that, one another point. Later. In chapter 3, however, there is one example of theoretical combination. For instance, the author connects systems of documents and systems of activities. And for that, they distinguish between 9 categories of activities. This was also recalled by Ghislaine yesterday. And these are directly inspired by the study moments of ITD. It is interesting to point out because ATD is not really very strongly used in the basis of the documentational approach. And in chapter 10, which is devoted to the collective documentational work of teachers, we have an explicit connection with COPE and a community of practices and the use of associated criteria in order to characterize the documentational work of this community, the connection between system of resources and shared repertoire in the sense of Wenger. But there are a lot of other chapters in the book, and we enter the other direction of connections. In other chapters, again, many cross references, but few advanced forms of networking. I had more or less a feeling that the different authors in the scale of networking try to make understandable their own approach with respect to the documentational approach, pointing out difference in the meaning of terms, documents, resources, this kind of thing, or also attracting the attention on specific points. For instance, in the chapter by Sensevi, there is something very interesting regarding pay attention to the didactic intentionality and the influence of this didactic intentionality on the documentational work. That could be interesting. And it is not elaborated, of course, in this book, but it has been recently reworked in a recent paper by Rocha, and using also the style of thought of Plec, which has evoked in this first chapter by Gérard Saint-Sévy. There is also comparing, contrasting, some coordinating, and I would say one example of locally integrating. I give a few examples. Comparing, contrasting. I refer here, I have selected. Of course, I could have selected other chapters. The chapter by Maria Alessandra Mariotti and Mirko Maracci. Why? Because a priori, connection is easy. Because there is some theoretical proximity. Both the documentational approach and the theory of semiotic mediation, which is used by Maria Alessandra and Mirko, rely on Robardel instrumental approach. So there is clearly a connection possible. But very quickly. The authors say that, show that, point out that there is an evident distance between their respective praxeologies. Their interest is in how teachers make a technological artifact, an instrument of semiotic mediation for students, especially through the orchestration of classroom discussion in reference to Batkin, and not, they are not interested at all in teacher documentational genesis. So there is a distance not between, the distance is between the research problematics, not between so much the theories. We have a similar phenomenon with a chapter by Fabrice van den Broek. Once again, there is a theoretical proximity because the theory of activity and cognitive ergonomics are shared both by the documentational approach and by the dual didactic and ergonomic approach of teacher practices, which is the basic framework for Fabrice van den Broek. But, however, once again, we have a distance between research problematics, research method, and conceptual tools. And, for instance, Fabrice points out up to what point the approach of the regularities, invariance, and evolution of teacher practices in the dual approach makes that there is a methodological focus on the analysis of the task prepared by the student, by the teacher, and how the tasks are mediated in the classroom for the activity of the students. And this methodology is not the same as the documentational methodology, and for instance, the method of reflective investigation. And at the end of the chapter, we read that evolution of these couples, task, déroulement, in the classroom, interpreted in terms of stability and evolution of the five components of the double approach, could allow to characterize documentational genesis. The author says more research is needed to test this hypothesis, of course. And more research is needed. All the more as we see that they do not use the same language. The five components, the language of schemes, both refer to theory of activity, but in very different ways. Locally integrating, Jana is your turn. In this chapter, there is a combination of the documentational approach with Margolina's model of teacher activity with five types, levels of situation, and the CKC model of Balashev, of conception by Balashev, to analyze teacher didactic decisions. And in that case, the experimental context is provided by data from the thesis by Lima, I don't remember her first name. Iranette. And she's sorry, Iranette. And the designer of a lesson about line symmetry with a given set of resources. And students, they are given students' production and a set of 18 tasks. And when you read the chapter, you see that the effort of connection are stronger than in many others. Of course, there are two successive analyses of the data provided. But the second is done with the documentational approach. And there are clearly identification of elements of documentational genesis and trying to elucidate emerging schemes, including the operational invariant, which everyone knows is not a trivial task associated to this. And there is a conclusion combining this analysis and their respective outcomes. But we have to say that in that case, the research methodology is a very strong facilitator for this connection. Because in fact, the research methodology simulates some form of documentational work. Thus, at this stage of my inquiry, this reinforced my vision that thinking in terms of research praxeology for looking for connection was a good perspective. So then, well, just the beginning of the story. Huh? Then there is a second book in English with much more authors, an issue of ZDM in 2013, both of them co-edited by Ghislaine, Birgit, and Luc. Birgit entered the scene at that time. A very well-attended TSG as The Last ICMI, and an associated book, research article, doctoral thesis, all of this, what it shows. This is a personal view of what it shows. What is striking for me is the stability of the theoretical core of the documentational approach. It is striking to see that when you read a paper in 2011, when you read a paper in 2016 or 17, the presentation, the synthetic presentation of the theory is nearly the same. This leads me to question, why such a so quick stability of the core? And why, and the presentation by Ghislaine yesterday made me reflect also, because I was wondering, what not so much phenomena identify things that have been labeled? And Ghislaine spoke about not so solid in findings. What they do not enter more, the theoretical part of the research praxeology associated with this theoretical approach. Is there, for instance, a possibility that someday the notion of documentational incident, which has been used by some of you, enter the theoretical and stabilize in the, as part of the theoretical landscape? What about the other notions that have emerged? But at this point, there is a big stability. Another point is the consolidation of the methodology of reflective investigation with the associated tool of schematic representation of resource systems, which has become, in some sense, emblematic of the approach. What is clear also is a sustained connection with Wenger's theory and the concept of community of practice, which is fostered by the attention paid to the collective work of teachers among the research problematics. And what is also striking and visible here is the diversification of research problematics and contexts and the deepening of theoretical connection together with the development of joint authorship. In the second book, early, already in 2012, there are only three chapters that are with a single author. And for me, this is very informative because I have learned from networking what is the power of joint authorship. And we say in our world that it creates an antagonist milieu in the sense of the theory of didactic situation that makes that the connections, the potential for connection, for deeper connection, is much more bigger than when you are working alone. So, when I ask Luc some references I could read to think about theoretical connection, he sent me a list of kinds of theoretical crossings with paper for each of them. So I had to read a lot. So you have seen some of them are already there. And in the last part, you see things that have emerged much more recently. And for instance, in the framework, in the frame of the MC Square project on creativity and so on. Yeah? But it is sure that this is striking. the number of connections. I cannot tell you all the details of my inquiry. And as time is running, I will mention, come back to, in order to illustrate the power of joint authorship. This is a paper by Ghislaine Godet and Fabrice, and it makes a continuity with the previous part of my talk. It's just in 2011. The paper by Fabrice was published, a chapter, in 2010. So there is not a lot of time between the two. And from the two papers are really different. And for instance, first, they point out the proximity of their respective theoretical approach. They use the term, our approaches are cousin approaches. Of course, they use distinct case studies because they have to cope with the methodological distance of the two approaches. But they select the case studies in order to present common characteristics in the selected teacher whose work is analyzed and to facilitate the comparison. And this, for me, also is a sign of something we have shown very important, for instance, in the REMATS project. The fact that when you want to, we want to network, we have to develop some kind of specific research methodology on top of our research methodology in order to make the connection possible and productive, what we have called the meta-praxeologies. And, alors, I cannot enter in the details, but a substantial part of the article is devoted to the comparison of the two case studies and the underlying approaches, clarifying similarities and differences. And we see pointed out the fact that the double approach does not use the language of schemes, makes a distance, create a distance between the approaches, which is not easy to recover. But at the same time, offer complementary perspectives. And these complementary perspectives are clearly shown in the analysis of the data. But what is also striking is that in the development of the documentational approach is the diversification of context. This documentational approach is no longer limited to math, is no longer limited to French researchers, is no longer limited to French context. And I have selected a paper that seems to me very illustrative of that. It's a very recent paper, and you have by French and Chinese colleagues, and Birgitte also. And in this paper, in fact, there is a combination of connection between documentational work and teaching, the question of teaching expertise, which is certainly influenced by the Asiatic context. The fact that being so much interested to teaching expertise and the way it can be expressed. And in fact, the documentational approach in this paper, in my view, is put at the service of understanding what means teaching expertise. And the question, I have written here the three questions, you can see this, they clearly relate to the expression of teaching expertise. And once again, documentational approach is a theoretical approach. There is no other theoretical approach mentioned in the paper. And the methodology is clearly inspired by the reflective investigation methodology with the RSSR tool. Results. They show a clear diversity of the three teacher resource systems, but they show a common emphasis on the collective aspect of developing and, more importantly, of sharing resources to improve institutional practices and the role played in this sharing by contextual factors. For instance, the teaching research group to which all teachers belong. The QQ discussion group, this is QQ is an instant messaging software available at local, district, and more general level, and the public lessons. So we know the power of public lessons. And the existence also, they show of a clear notion of mathematics teaching expertise in China, thus a clear professional identity when compared to many other countries, going with different perception of what expertise exactly means, expressed by these three teachers, which is really clearly interesting, and for me resonates with the last part of my talk. And the conclusion is made by the author that the lens of resources provides a useful tool for examining mathematics teaching expertise, making it possible to bring to the surface different aspects of this expertise. I have also selected this paper because reading it at some moment, at the end of the methodological part, I read the following paragraph, pointing out an important language issue due to the fact that they had to communicate in English. And so there were all this system of translation. And it is clear that for me, this resonates very strongly with the work I am engaged in since 3 years now in the Lexicon National Project. So I would like to give a few words about this project and the new connections that are emerging. The Lexicon Project is a comparative project led by David Clark and Carmel Messiti from the University of Melbourne. And initially involving 9 countries, but 10 now, as Korea has entered the scene. And the rationale at the origin of this project is the crucial role of language in what we are able to perceive and express, and the limitation to expression and sharing, which is induced by the use of English as lingua franca for international communication. And David Clark became very aware of this problem when leading the learner's perspective study during more than 10 years. And clearly seeing that in other countries and cultures, there are terms in order to describe what happens in mathematics classroom that cannot be translated into English. And if they are translated, this creates misunderstanding. And also the second point was the underdeveloped state of mathematics teacher professional discourse in most countries, contributing to maintain the profession in a state of semi-profession, as has been said by researchers in France, such as Svalar, but also by Gilles Adler in South Africa, by Lampert in the US, and so on. So the goal was to document and compare the naming system reasonably shared, between quotes, by mathematics teacher communities in the countries involved in the project to describe the objects and events in their classroom in order to expand on the variety of constructs available for the purpose of theorizing about classroom practice and of identifying accomplished practice. This is a quotation for a paper by Carmel. The global methodology for this project, first, we constitute mixed teams of teachers and researchers in each country. We produce a set of video in a class, grade 9 mathematics classroom, taught by experienced researchers, one video in each country. And we use the video as a stimulus to build a provisional lexicon for each country, a provisional pedagogico-didactic lexicon. For our colleagues at the origin, it was a pedagogical lexicon. But it is sure that for us, it's more didactic lexicon. So now it's a pedagogical didactical lexicon. And with the idea that it is not a lexicon of researcher for researcher, not a lexicon of researcher for teacher, we give a predominant voice to teacher. If, for instance, as was the case in Chile, researcher proposed words and teacher said, even expert teacher, we don't know these words, or we don't use this word. It doesn't correspond to our practice. The terms are out. And the final condition was that two-thirds of teachers have to be familiar with the terms. So here you see the familiar, the stimulus package, the resources you have at the beginning. We have lesson videos taken with three cameras, timestamp transcript in original language and English, and we have all the support document materials accompanying the lessons. Then we had a multi-step review revision process of each lexicon in the country, followed by a cross-quality check between lexicon partners after translation between quotes into English, leading to the current finalized version to be made public. For instance, the French version now is the sixth version of the lexicon. And we are developing now comparative studies with specific methodologies depending on the question at stake. I don't want to enter. This is really a fascinating, difficult, and successful project up to the point. But it's just the first step. If one considers that the teacher professional activity is not limited to what happens in the classroom, and that the current version of the lexicon mainly captures the didactical pedagogical lexicon used in the description of the life of mathematics classroom. So the interest of an extension of this project, investigating the term used by teachers from different countries to describe their systems of resources and the use they made of these. And this was up. And this was proposed by Luc and will take place in the Friday workshop, which is coordinated by Luc, Marina, Ulysses, Karima, Hendrik, and Sean Young, involving in the preparation, researchers from, I think, 8 different countries, 8 different languages, and more different languages than those we have in the lexicon project. I think it starts to move in that direction. And I hope that a new and promising form of networking between research enterprise and community may emerge from that. Thank you for your attention.